And good afternoon to all the brethren here and to those online. I feel like we're kind of a slimmer crowd than we normally have been. I don't know whether that means anything that for you and me, Dan Aparian, over there. Maybe they found out who was speaking today. I don't know. But we don't have too big of a crowd today. But maybe we have a bigger crowd online that way. That's all right, too. So I hope everything is going well for all of you and for all those at home that aren't here today. Well, you know, this is a changing world. A couple weeks ago, it was that Russia invaded Ukraine. And that conflict, I honestly felt like was going to go over, be done in a week's time, and yet the Ukrainians are hanging on. Through it all, and it is a scary time. This last week, Mr. Dowd up in Wisconsin has a Sabbath weekly thought, and he usually publishes it on Friday evening. And this time in his Sabbath thought, he actually used somebody else's Sabbath, maybe it was a Sabbath thought from them, I'm not sure, but it was a letter out to the people from a minister named Ryan Hall, and his minister's out in Pennsylvania. I think he's got Pennsylvania, part of West Virginia, and another state, maybe Pennsylvania or something. But anyway, he took his letter because he thought it was so good. And this is just at the beginning of my message, but I'm just going to read about a paragraph of what Mr. Hall had to say. He said, quote, "What we see happening in Europe with the Russian invasion of Ukraine and China now lurking in the shadows with plans of their own to do the same in Taiwan should grab our attention. In fact, it demands our attention. What we need more than ever as the people of God is an increased sense of urgency. We should look at this. We know some of Bible prophecy. We know Gog Magog, the powers of the north. And quite honestly, we look at Russia as a military, huge military threat, but not an economic threat. China is an economic threat. And if they ever join together, it could be problems for the world, the whole world, as we go down the line. So who knows how things go, but I think it should bring a sense of more urgency to us. And we're going now, heading toward the days of unleavened bread. And every year, we look at the sins in our lives, we evaluate where we need to make some changes, and in that, you know, if you've done it maybe 30, 40, 50 years, there are some times you got to admit, you just don't get the zeal that you should have. But if you think we don't have a lot of time left, if you get that mentality, we may not have a lot of time left. I've got to be ready for when Christ returns. I can't be weak. And if the trouble starts mounting here rapidly, I need to be where God wants me to be. I think we all need to think a little more that way. And this should be a year we're charged up a little more than normal because things could happen. Things could happen. As we know, we've got about 6 weeks left till the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's a time. And this, during this time, even before the days of unleavened bread, it's a time where we start working for the days of unleavened bread. We do it physically, we do it spiritually. Physically, we start cleaning out the cupboards, cleaning out our cars, doing that sort of physical thing. And spiritually, we start looking at ourselves and where we're going to really dedicate ourselves to overcoming something. Let's go back to Exodus 13 and see when this was initially set up in the Old Testament. We know in chapter 12 of Exodus, it talks about the Passover that was commanded to them. and they kept. And in chapter 13, it is the start of them getting ready to go out of Egypt. And we'll just read Exodus 13 and verse 3 at first. And Moses said to the people, "Remember this day," this being the first day of, or the night after the Passover, "remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place." And as we look at Israel coming out of Egypt, what does that represent to us? We aren't Israelites necessarily. We're people chosen by God. We are God's chosen people as Israel was. But the Israelites were coming out of Egypt. And we, when we are called, we are to come out of sin. That's a parallel there that we know and understand. Leaven products representing sin for just this seven-day period of time. And at the end of verse 3, it says, "No leavened bread shall be eaten." None. Don't be eating anything leavened. And drop down to verse 7. "Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. You will eat unleavened bread, but you will not eat leavened bread. So, no leavened bread shall be seen among you." That's number one, no leavened bread. "Nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters." It's not just that you don't eat leavened bread, but you don't have any leavening even around. And so you're looking at unleavened bread, you're looking at leavening, which could be baking powder, yeast, baking soda, different products like that. And then there are the crumbs, right? There are those sandwiches you ate and the bread kind of falls down in the crevices and you try to figure out where they're at and pick them up. So we have that. And in our lives, we got to admit, there's bigger things that we look at and we look at the smaller things. We try to get ourselves to be better Christians for the next year. In our family, and I'm sure if you're a husband and wife, you've all pretty much followed the same example. I have my jobs that I do every year. Janet has her job she does every year. And then we have certain things like maybe moving the stove, and so I help, and she cleans and I move out, and there's the teaming up together on certain projects. Well, one, my job is to clean both the cars, and I've got to admit, I'm always a little frustrated because you can get in there, and I know I get crumbs because I eat sandwiches in the car and cookies in the car, and I do that. So I know that seat, where the seat is and where the backrest is, behind, there's going to be crumbs in there. And I'm vacuuming it out, and the console, between the seat and the console, and it's very narrow. And it's just like I can't really find something that really gets in and really digs out those crumbs. And I, under the seat, you can't get where you want to. And you look underneath and you say, "Oh, I see that white thing under there. I wonder if it's a piece of bread." And you just try to get it. And I'm always a little frustrated, like I can never really totally get it. And even in that, you know what? It's kind of the way our lives are. You can always look at yourself and you say, I messed up. I really haven't conquered this. And there's always things in our lives. We are not going to live a year between two Passovers that we have been perfect. It just won't happen. And so there's that representation. And that's the way it is. So if we're looking at, where do we look, first of all? I want to find sin. Well, I think most of us would think, well, look at the Ten Commandments. Now, you can look what I call the big loaf of bread and the big piece of cake, and you can find, you can see and take a look at it. And you say, well, you know what? Quite honestly, I haven't killed anybody. Thou shalt not kill. I haven't killed anybody. That's good. And stealing? Nope. I haven't stolen a thing. And you shall have no other idols or gods before the true God. I really don't have any idols. And you can kind of go down the Ten Commandments and you can say, I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. I didn't really do anything wrong. But the fact is, that's kind of like the big pieces of cake. And the big pieces of cake, and when you're cleaning, how much time does that take to really get rid of? Doesn't take much time. The crumbs. It's the crumbs that you're dealing with that really are hard to get and hard to find and that you're trying to get out all the time. And it's kind of like those crumbs in my car that I can't quite suck up all the time. And we have those crumbs, don't we? It's not the big thing, but it's the smaller stuff. Let's go to Matthew 5. Get the New Testament look at the days of unleavened bread. And we'll take a look at Matthew 5. And there they go into the concept of the Ten Commandments. Matthew 5, verse 17. Jesus Christ says, Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. And some people say he did away with the commandments with this verse, but he didn't. He says, I didn't come to destroy it. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And not meaning it fulfill, meaning it's completed and done away with, but I came to fill it to the full. That word means to complete. The commandments are there. Christ says, I came to complete the commandments, to give it really a fuller meaning. And what he means is explained in the next verses. Let's just take verses 21 through 22, for example. This is under you shall not kill. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, or you fool, you idiot, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. That's pretty big. I mean, it's not killing. And you think, well, it isn't nearly as bad as killing someone. But when you see here it says you'll be in danger of hell fire, that's pretty bad, you know? We need to work on, we need to pick out the crumbs as well as the big loaf of bread. And as you think about this, this concept of anger, hatred, it says that we are not to hate the sinner, but the sin. In other words, you're going to see people do immoral things all the time. You can't be angry at everyone that does that. If you knew it, you would be angry at everybody. You have to accept people the way they are. And yet, you have to do what's right. You aren't going to steal, but you shouldn't lust to steal, to bring it to that point. That is the pinnacle. The killing came because there was anger. The stealing came because there was lust. The idols, we don't have idols that we worship, but, you know, our riches can become our idols. Your mate can become an idol. You can be your own idol. It's so easy to put things ahead of God. And that's what we need to work on. As it takes more time to clean the crumbs than it does throughout the loaf of bread, we're going to live our life getting the crumbs out of our life. Those things that are, they're not as big as the big pinnacle of the commandments, but they are to fulfill in our lives the obedience to God. So, we are here getting ready. Let's look at not only the loaf of bread, not only the big commandments, but those things that fulfill God's commandments. You know what? I didn't give you a title. And I'm going to give you the title now because I know they always write it on our, when we produce this. The Leavening of the Heart and Mind. This sermonette was called The Leavening of the Heart and Mind. I'm sorry I've screwed up and didn't give it before now, but it is really the concept that we need to work on. We need to look at the leavening of our heart and mind. It's not the action so much, it's our heart and mind. And that's a harder thing to judge and to be able to really get on top of. As we eat leaven for the days of unleavened bread, let's think about what this process symbolizes. And as we go to clean, think about what it really means in our personal spiritual lives. The removal of sins, big sins and little sins. And the obvious and the ones not so obvious, the sins of the heart. Let's grow toward the perfection of Jesus Christ.